need for a culture of safety. Before envisioning a culture of safety, IPs must understand the culture of complex organizations, including their own. Organizational culture can be described as the set of values, guiding beliefs, or ways of thinking that are shared among members of an organization. It is the feel of an organization that is quickly picked up on by new members. Culture is, in short, the way we do things around here. The power of organizational culture is perhaps most noticeable when new strategies or programs are implemented that go against the currently embedded culture. Role of the IP in patient safety. Few clinicians have the widespread, comprehensive view of adverse events, HAIs in particular, that IPs bring to the patient safety arena. Surveillance, prevention, and control measures are the foundation of any program that aims to identify and categorize risk using problem-solving techniques and critical thinking skills to eliminate injury and harm from HAIs. These are some of the fundamental skills and core competencies that IPs bring to patient safety programs. By marketing these skills and competencies, IPs can demonstrate their value to healthcare leaders interested in improving the safety and quality of clinical care. Key point: IPs bring value to organizational patient safety efforts through a practice based on the science of epidemiology, the study of populations characterized by time, place, and risk factors, the use of proper definitions and measurements, and the use of appropriate study designs. Epidemiological skills used to reduce endemic infection rates through surveillance and prevention activities can be applied to the study of any adverse outcome in healthcare. Once indicators are selected to measure adverse outcomes, the same competencies are needed: data management, collection, organization, analysis, and reporting. Feedback of data and information to key stakeholders. Education for HCP on risks and reduction strategies. Development and implementation of interventions to reduce risk and improve processes. Evaluation of interventions based on data, improved rates or processes, continued surveillance and prevention activities. The role of the IP has historically been, and will continue to be, critical to ensuring patient safety. This is done by establishing evidence-based infection prevention practices and ensuring their full deployment through education, auditing, and performance improvement activities. The emphasis on federal agency and other regulatory body requirements, together with the public's demand for attention to HAIs, ensures that the IP will continue to play a valuable role in patient safety reform. Risk and incident reporting. If the current rate of patient harm in healthcare is to be reduced, HCP need to identify how and why adverse events occur, and, in particular, how system defects may contribute to their occurrence. One way to do this is for individuals to report incidents. As discussed in APIC text, Ch. 18, patient safety, related risk and incident reporting terms include adverse event. An adverse event is any negative impact event involving one or more patients in a healthcare setting, including but not limited to sentinel events, drug-related errors, HAIs, including surgical site infections, technical errors, non-technical competency errors, that is communication failures, poor collaboration, diagnostic mishaps, therapeutic mishaps, or process errors. Sentinel event. TJC defines sentinel events as patient safety events resulting in death, permanent harm, or severe temporary harm. Note that not all adverse events are considered sentinel events. A given HAI may or may not rise to the level of a sentinel event. Near miss. The U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, IHRQ, defines near misses as events in which the unwanted consequences were prevented because there was a recovery by planned or unplanned identification and correction of the failure. Key point: if you know how to prevent infections, you know how to protect patients from most adverse events. Kahn, Corrigan, and Donaldson, to err is human. Building a safer health system, quoted in APIC text, Ch. 18, patient safety. The effectiveness of a patient safety program can, to some degree, be measured by increased near-miss reporting. That is, when employees openly admit to mistakes and identify broken systems before they result in resident harm. Incident reporting is only as effective as providers' willingness to report. The organization must set the expectation upon hire that safety event reporting is a priority. Individual employees have a responsibility to know and follow policies and procedures applicable to assigned duties, to use sound judgment and be aware of potential hazards before acting, and to promptly report events or situations of actual or potential harm. Management is responsible for educating HCP on event reporting, making continuous safety improvements, and identifying system flaws and potential corrective actions. Managers must focus on the how, not the who, of an event, while nevertheless underscoring individual accountability and responsibility. This is the foundation of a just culture of safety. Individual performance, as well as process and systems, evaluations are critical for ensuring safe practice. Hiring managers must make expectations about patient safety responsibilities clear, ask staff to speak up about risks, act on the concerns voiced by staff, and hold staff accountable for expected behaviors. Reporting programs are generally designed to target problem areas through trend analyses. They should generate information for use in corrective and prevention measures, spread knowledge about risks, and promote open communication. Until the scope of any problem is known, and risk and harm are stratified into categories, it is difficult to plan for improvement. Key point, as with surveillance for HAIs, strengthening a culture of safety is likely to increase the detection of errors or incident rates. It is important to educate leadership and staff to expect this increase and to explain that it comes from improved surveillance and reporting. Eventually, the success of the patient safety program can be evaluated by increased reporting and decreased incidents of patient harm. Potential attributes of effective reporting programs may include: be voluntary and confidential. Use standard definitions, numerators, denominators, and protocols. Include all populations. Dedicate sufficient HCP for data collection tasks. Provide a statistically significant / appropriate sample size. Disseminate data back to care providers and others, such as medication manufacturers. Monitor rates and trends associated with prevention efforts. Avoiding a punitive culture. Patient safety literature is filled with recommendations for organizational leaders to become systems thinkers and to eliminate the blame and shame mentality of the past. A culture of safety must prevent punitive reactions to mistakes, and staff members must feel confident that if they speak out about risk, their leaders will respond. Providers involved in medical errors must know that leaders will look beyond the obvious and drill down until the root causes are found, and that they will routinely evaluate systems and processes during any accident investigation. Until such a major culture change is embraced and frontline staff members are more involved in the decision-making that affects the delivery of care, the true etiology of medical errors will not be discovered, and efforts at prevention and elimination may be futile. A punitive culture reacts to bad behaviors. A just culture looks at the system, the environment, the knowledge, the tools, and other stressors that may affect behavior. In a just culture, top-down communication is replaced with bidirectional communication, with information flowing down to the front line from leadership and back up to leadership from those providing resident care on the front line. Silence about harmful events is discouraged. Instead, open, honest disclosure about serious resident safety events builds a learning organization and a safer place to work and provide care. Schools of medicine, nursing, and allied health previously taught that when things went wrong, providers should ask, "Who did it?" The focus was on the failure of individuals. In fundamental statistics and epidemiology in infection prevention, while discussing the management of human error, Dr. Lucien Leap states that the single greatest impediment to error prevention in the medical industry is that we punish people for making mistakes. Key point, traditional culture reacts to harm after it occurs. A safety culture tries to anticipate accidents and errors and to be proactive in identifying risks before they result in harm. Creating a safety culture, a just culture, in just culture, balancing safety and accountability, cited in APIC text, 18, patient safety. Decker argues that a culture of safety is a just culture. A just culture stands in contrast to a punitive culture in that quality assurance and performance improvement initiatives look first to improving the system, environment, knowledge, tools, and stressors that may affect behavior. A just culture also stands in contrast to a top-down communication culture in that bidirectional communication is emphasized. For example, if a patient develops a Klebsiella and the infection is traced back to a nurse who failed to change a dressing when required, a just culture will look at all the reasons this lapse occurred and will coach the nurse to pursue other options when not able to perform the task, such as asking a colleague on the same shift to change the dressing. Bidirectional communication means that information flows from leadership down to the front line and back up to leadership from those providing resident care on the front line. Silence about harmful events is discouraged. Instead, open, honest disclosure of serious resident safety events builds an organizational culture focused on learning, thereby creating a safer place for staff to work and provide care. As healthcare organizations continually strive to improve, there is a growing recognition of the importance of establishing a culture of safety within which clinicians work and patients receive care. Achieving a culture of safety requires an understanding of the values, beliefs, and norms about what is important for an organization and what attitudes and behaviors related to patient safety are expected and appropriate. Various safety culture measurement tools exist, including the AHRQ Hospital Survey on Patient Safety Culture, the AHRQ Medical Office Survey on Patient Safety, and the Safety Attitudes Questionnaire. Healthcare organizations can use these survey assessment tools to assess their patient safety culture, track changes in patient safety over time, evaluate the impact of patient safety interventions. AHRQ and other entities shares benchmark safety culture data, which allows a healthcare organization to evaluate its performance against peers and over time to identify opportunities for improvement. A healthcare setting with a strong safety culture is uneasy about risk, constantly seeking out best practices, and always on the lookout for the next mistake, all in an effort to prevent mistakes and increase patient safety. A safety culture fosters a learning organization or an organization in which staff members share information about mistakes and errors to prevent them from recurring. This type of organization emphasizes reciprocal accountability, meaning that everyone holds each other accountable for patient safety. The leadership can expect staff members to call out risks, and staff can expect leadership to listen and act, even when that involves dealing with problem professionals who display intentionally reckless behaviors. Residents and family members must be included as respected partners and must understand their responsibilities for keeping themselves safe. The U.S. National Patient Safety Foundation outlines 5 attributes of a safety culture that all healthcare organizations should strive to implement through strong safety management systems, all HCP, including frontline staff, physicians, and administrators, accept responsibility for the safety of themselves, their coworkers, residents, and visitors. Safety has priority over financial and operational goals. The organization encourages and rewards the identification, communication, and resolution of safety issues. There are provisions for organizational learning from accidents. The organization allocates appropriate resources, structure, and accountability to maintain effective safety systems. Designing and safety to account for the human factor. Patient safety programs take advantage of tools that have been used in industry for years to study the cause and effects of human error. For example, human factors engineering, HFE, is the design of safe, comfortable, and effective tools, machines, and systems that account for human capabilities and limitations, intended to reduce the need for excessive physical exertion and decrease physical constraints and workload. For example, the use of checklists for central line insertion to ensure the procedure is performed correctly every time. Human factors analysis studies the human-machine interface with the intent of improving working conditions or operations. For example, ensuring ABHR dispensers are available at the point of care, mounted at the correct height. Ergonomics helps design tasks, jobs, information, tools, equipment, facilities, and the working environment so that people can be safe, effective, productive, and comfortable. For example, ensuring sharps containers are mounted at the correct height to prevent overreaching and possible needle stick injury. Reliability science helps achieve failure-free operation over time. For example, the use of timeouts to address antibiotic overuse. Resiliency helps a system to adjust and sustain operations during periods of stress or after an event. An example of designing for human factors would be improving the clarity of existing isolation signs. To do so, possible design changes include converting the design to a vertical layout, increasing graphic size, utilizing pictures instead of words, and adding number indicators to align with proper PPE donning order. When this kind of redesign and improvement has been done, staff have found the signs to be effective, and the intervention has been associated with an increase in PPE compliance. Application of the principles from such programs can help healthcare workers, especially those involved with patient safety, to analyze events and develop workable and effective countermeasures, sometimes referred to as error wisdom, eliminating the use of dangerous shortcuts that lead to medical errors. Safety leader James Reason teaches that humans are fallible and errors are to be expected, even in the best organizations. Humans naturally automate tasks to conserve mental energy because automatic activity often has predictable outcomes. Building on the concepts of error wisdom, the IP can strengthen the design and compliance of prevention strategies. Reason describes three error types: skill-based, with slip and lapse subtypes, rule-based, and knowledge-based. A slip is an external failure in a plan due to reduced intentionality. A lapse is an internal failure occurring from failures of memory and memory storage. Skill-based: an inadvertent mistake when conducting a routine or automatic task due to distraction. Example, forgetting to stop an insulin infusion after stopping tube feeding. Rule-based: rule-based mistakes occur when a rule or procedure is remembered and/or applied incorrectly. Example, administering an injectable antibiotic incorrectly. When a contraindication is not recognized, an individual may misapply a seemingly good rule. Past experiences, training, or misunderstandings can result in the development and execution of bad or misapplied rules. Knowledge-based: a mistake resulting from incorrect or incomplete knowledge. Example, administering penicillin to a resident without checking if they are allergic. Confirmation bias is common, and knowledge-based decision-making is highly prone to error. Typically, these errors occur when an individual is confronted by a new situation without all relevant information. The healthcare facility and its work culture can be designed to minimize these types of errors. For example, accommodating individual HCP musculoskeletal, sensory, and cognitive abilities to enable necessary tasks. Eliminating or modifying/reducing characteristics of tasks or physical environmental conditions, noise, lighting, workflow, that allow room for unsafe resident care. Evaluating tools and technologies to ensure they reduce rather than increase risk. Setting policies for a healthy work/rest ratio and avoiding overdependence on multitasking skills. Regularly evaluating HCP physical and mental capabilities, including stress levels. The healthcare facility and its internal processes related to IPC will have good design when the actions of the user can be intuitive. When processes are designed without attention to human limitations, each employee interacting with the process will adapt the process in a non-standard manner or create workarounds to complete the task. Poor design in IPC may be when the available product does not meet the needs of the end user. An example of poor design could occur when the size of single-dose vials is too large. The required dose for residents is less than the full amount in the vial. This may prompt providers to conserve medications using the vial multiple times to withdraw subsequent doses. Good design and communication may be the most important component of the resident care system. Poor design is frequently cited as the root cause of failures involving or creating a risk of death or serious psychological or physical injury. Communication about technology, equipment, processes, and procedures must be clearly delivered, and there must be confirmation that healthcare providers understand the message as was intended. In an already complex environment, communication processes should be as simple as possible, with little or no calculations required or opportunities for misinterpretation. In addition to verbal communication, visual cues, posters, signs, pictorials can prompt redundancy and clarify steps in a process to ensure safety. While creating a culture of safety and convincing staff to increase reporting of errors, IPs may encounter some myths or unspoken rules that need to change if decreasing medical errors is the goal. These unspoken rules have developed over time because of the stigma attached to errors. Short staffing, poor understanding of procedures, and other constraints may inadvertently create normalized deviance, driving staff members to protect themselves and their colleagues by independently changing practice and creating non-standard work when they feel it is in their patient's best interest. As a result, important information regarding the cause of errors is lost, and system problems can become more difficult to address. Competencies in a safety culture. A safety culture is a reliable culture. The Institute of Healthcare Improvement, IHI, and David Garvin at the Harvard Business School define reliability in healthcare as failure-free operation over time, and that the reliability can be calculated as the inverse of the failure or defect rate. If the failure rate is 10%, reliability is 90%. This is strongly related to the concept of high reliability organizations, HROs, which are organizations that maintain a high level of safety with the goal of no failures, errors, over a long period. As referenced in Fundamental Statistics and Epidemiology in Infection Prevention, Carl Weick and Kathleen Sutcliffe identified five attributes of HROs that can be used in concert with the science of epidemiology. Preoccupation with the early signs of failure, example, what might keep HCP from following a policy or procedure? Sensitivity to operations changes in a dynamic and nonlinear system, example, what types of residents are being admitted to the healthcare facility? Or what community activity might impact resources and ability to provide care? Reluctance to simplify things, such as by applying oversimplifying labels that can hinder further evaluation or diverse perspectives, example, how can we involve multiple departments to ensure IPC practices make sense from other perspectives and can be operationalized? Commitment to resilience or ability to sustain operations under acute or chronic stress, example, how might I quickly identify and contain an outbreak? Example, identify clusters of events, quickly evaluate practices, equipment handling, and isolation procedures. Deference to expertise at all organizational levels, example, who is a local expert that I can contact for this uncommon clinical situation? Standardization is a method that can help healthcare organizations develop and maintain a culture of safety and reliability. In terms of processes and products, standardization can help eliminate opportunities for error and mistakes. Standardization must be done following the best evidence. Care bundles are an example of both product and process standardization, as they clearly identify how to deliver the best care for specific conditions, for example, catheter insertion and maintenance, and which equipment and products to use. A formal auditing process should be established to monitor and track process and product evaluation and standardization throughout the facility. The IP is involved in process evaluation across all areas related to infection prevention and control, and therefore must also ensure that their approach to evaluation is effective and appropriate. The IP's knowledge of processes and products must remain current to ensure HCP provide care based on the latest best evidence. Setting safety culture policies. Healthcare facilities can rely on external sources when developing policies to promote a culture of safety. One example is a set of voluntary consensus standards developed by the National Quality Foundation, NQF. The NQF published Safe Practices for Better Healthcare to highlight the evidence or lack thereof surrounding various patient safety interventions. The NQF report outlines priority healthcare safe practices that should be implemented in all clinical settings to reduce the risk of harm. These standards were selected from over 200 practices reviewed based on the practice's specificity, effectiveness, potential benefit, generalizability, and readiness for implementation. In addition to standards related to creating a culture of safety, it also includes standards for matching healthcare needs to delivery capabilities, facilitating communication, and increasing safe medication use.